Which I'd like to read one verse as we begin our thoughts this morning in Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse 21. The Bible says, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Folks, God desires in this day that the Lord Jesus Christ receive glory through the New Testament church. And that's what the Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. The general thought of all, the underlying thought in all of our lessons on Baptist history is simply this. Independent Baptists, more than any other group, represent biblical New Testament churches. I said early on that it's probable at some of the isolated corners of this world that there are groups of believers that worship together, that worship like you and I do, that believe like you and I do, believe the Word of God, and yet they may not have the title Baptist attached to their name. I believe that that's a probability. I've also admitted from the very beginning that there are some churches that have the title Baptist associated with their name that are not true New Testament, biblical New Testament churches. So it's not just in a name, it's in the biblical beliefs that we hold. And as a group, Independent Baptist, more than any other group in existence, meets the qualifications as New Testament, biblical New Testament churches. Now, the devil always fights. We've came up to the modern era right now. We've been talking about the perils, so just a word of review. The Baptists continue to spread in America as America spread out over what we know as America today and incorporated all the states of the United States that we know today. As settlers spread out over America, the Baptists went with them, and Baptist churches sprang up all over America. As always, though, when anything's going on for God, the devil begins to work. We've noted several things. Some of the things that arose that the devil used to try to hinder the work of God through the Independent Baptist churches. First of all, there was a publishing of Darwin's Origin of the Species. I'm not going to reteach any of this. I'm only going to mention. There's the influence of German rationalism on our educational system. There's the Bible revision movement, this unending effort to rewrite the Word of God. There was the Civil War. There was the acceptance of William H. Whitsitt's false 1641 theory of baptism. Of course, Whitsitt was the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, and Whitsitt was educated in Germany, and he came back, he brought that heresy with him, and he came up with a false view, and many good Baptist people fell for that because, after all, he was a, quote, Baptist, and he was the president, at least for a while. He was forced to resign because of this falsehood, but the damage has already been done. And because he was a Baptist, because he was in an influential position, there's many folks accepted that and propagated it even after his demise, if you will. There was the silencing of our Baptist testimony because of Baptist folks joining in with something that was good. Wait a minute, now good in and of itself, the fundamentalist movement began in the let's just call it 1900s for the sake of giving you something to go on. The fundamentalist movement was a reaction against that German liberalism and rationalism, that denying of the fundamentals of the faith. So many denominations got together, and they said, we're going to stand against that. We're going to stand for the fundamentals of the faith. And so the fundamentalist movement wasn't at the beginning a Baptist movement only, even though Baptists joined in. Folks, that created untold harm to Baptist folks. You see, by joining in with the fundamentalist movement, with the Protestant denominations, the Presbyterians and the Congregationalists and the Methodists and the Episcopalians and many other denominations, by joining in with them to achieve something that was good. We wanted to stand for the major fundamentals of the faith. We wanted to stand for the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and the virgin birth and those kinds of things that are important. But by joining with all of those Protestant denominations, what happened as some decades went by is that the Baptist testimony was silenced, because after all, if we were going to be joined up with those Protestant denominations, we couldn't very well emphasize our glorious Baptist heritage without offending them. And so what happened? Baptists just kept quiet about their heritage, and as a result, we come to 2016, and many godly Baptist folks in independent Bible-believing Baptist churches don't know a thing in the world about our glorious Baptist heritage. Why? Because we just quit teaching. We quit teaching. So there was the silencing of our Baptist testimony. That's not where the assaults ended, though. There was the rise of the cults, Campbellism, or the Church of Christ as we know it today, which teaches baptismal regeneration. By the way, the Church of Christ is a false cult. It was started by a man who was a heretic and an apostate, Alexander Campbell. And so this matter of Campbellism and all the teaching of baptismal regeneration, it started among Baptists in Kentucky. Over 9,000, in a matter of 3 years, over 9,000 Baptist folks followed Campbell before God was able to raise up some men that would stand against him and all. And so there was the rise of multiple, I'm only naming a couple of them, of multiple false teachings. That was during the days we had the rise of Mormonism. And again, believe it or not, many Baptist folks were led astray by Mormonism. I'm going to stop there with that. If I told the truth about Mormonism and Joseph Smith, it would seem almost like I was being off-colored this morning, and I don't desire to do that. But suffice it to say that Joseph Smith was himself an ungodly and an immoral man. That brings us to this point, and I need to make a clarification. Last time we were here, I wasn't looking at my notes. I was talking about the beginning of the Southern Baptist Convention. And I mentioned 2 weeks ago that the Southern Baptist Convention started in Savannah, Georgia. Folks, it didn't start in Savannah, Georgia. It started in Augusta, Georgia. I'm sorry about that. I thought about that as I left. Now, I looked at my notes afterward, and I thought, well, I messed that thing up. But that's not the last time I've made a mistake. The first time, it won't be the last time either. So I'll probably have to make a clarification next week of some fact that I got wrong this week. So I apologize for that. But there's the rise of convention mentality. Now, folks, I need you to stay with me as I begin this thought. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be unkind this morning. I'm telling you, though, what's going on with the Baptists. I'm trying to get you to see. I'm trying to give you a historical view of what all is going on with Baptist folks. In 1845, in Augusta, Georgia, the Southern Baptist Convention was born. Now, let me go ahead and say this. I didn't say it to start with. For those of you that signed up for the notes, I've had some that sign up. I've got the sign-up sheet. If you would like to have the notes and you haven't signed up, I've got the sheet up here, and the table was gone, right? I put it back there earlier and all. But I've got the sheet, and I'll get those notes. I'm going to try to have those for next week. I don't know if I'll make it. This past week, I'm not complaining or asking for sympathy. I worked 12-hour days this past week. I simply didn't get it done. I just didn't have there wasn't enough time in the day for me to do it and all. But I'll have that done for you. So all these facts that I'm giving you are in the notes. And so you'll have all these notes before you, those of you that would like to have them. So I've got 12 that have signed up that want them. I'll have those for you, the Lord willing, next week. If I don't get them next week, I will get them to you. If the Lord tarries his coming and lets me live, I'll get them to you. Honest, I will. And also, if you'd like to have those, you can sign up, and I'll get it. So all these facts I'm giving are in the notes, and you can have that before you. But the Southern Baptist Convention started in 1845. Of course, that was a little bit before the Civil War actually started in America. The Baptist Civil War started in 1845. I mentioned this, and I'm reviewing just a little bit. The Southern Baptist Convention was started because of a reaction of Baptist churches in the North against Baptist churches in the South. Some of the Baptist churches in the South were sympathetic to slavery, the issue of slavery. Some of the missionaries from Baptist churches in the South actually were slave owners or sympathetic to slavery. That was totally unacceptable to many of the Baptist churches in the North, and they made a proclamation, the Baptist Church of the North made a proclamation. They said, we'll not have anything else to do with the Baptist churches where slavery is not, where slavery is looked on favorably. And so a great split took place, and the Southern Baptist Convention was born in Augusta, Georgia, in 1845. Now, with that, we have what I refer to as the rise of convention mentality. I need to stop here and make this statement. I am not talking against this morning every person that is a member of a Southern Baptist church. All of us here, myself included, knows a lot of wonderful people that are members of Southern Baptist churches. There have been in the past, there still are, some good Southern Baptist churches. But even though those churches are good, they are guilty by their association with the Southern Baptist Convention. And you'll see what I'm talking about as I go on. So please, would you at least stay with me? Don't turn me off. Don't get mad at me and think I'm downing every person that's ever been a member of a Southern Baptist church. Remember, many of the strong independent Baptist churches today were one-time members of the Southern Baptist Convention, and they pulled out of the convention. However, I don't want you to lose sight of this fact. When the Southern Baptist Convention was born in 1845 in Augusta, Georgia, every Baptist church in the South did not join the Southern Baptist Convention. There were good Baptist churches in those days in the South that had the Bible conviction that it was wrong even then to be a member of a convention of that type for the churches, and they refused to join the Southern Baptist Convention. So all the way from the very beginning church in the New Testament till today, there have been independent Baptist churches that were always independent, even here in the South. So please do not lose sight of that fact. But there was the rise of convention mentality. Now listen, I'm talking about this under the heading of ways that the devil has tried to get in and bring down and destroy biblical New Testament Baptist churches. To feel the need to join a convention or association is to embrace ecumenical thinking to some degree. This group mentality is the same kind of thinking that led to the Catholic Church. Now, I want to make a statement. I want you to listen very carefully. I believe that every saved person should be a member of an independent Baptist church, and no independent Baptist church should be a member of any convention or association. Now, folks, in our minds, we're here in Calhoun, Georgia. In our mind, when I talk about a convention, most everybody automatically, because we live here in the land of the Southern Baptist Convention. Folks, there are literally dozens of Baptist conventions in existence today all over America. Now, here in the South, we think of the Southern Baptist, and so When I talk about this matter of a convention mentality, in many of our minds, if you're not careful, you'll think that I'm talking about only the Southern Baptist Convention. Folks, I'm not. I'm talking about any and all conventions, whether it's the Northern Baptist Convention or the Bible Baptist Fellowship. It's called a fellowship instead of convention. It's exactly the same thing. Whatever the name is, and I'll be naming a bunch of them later, hopefully this morning if I get that far, and you'll see. I'm not talking about just the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm talking about any convention. I believe that it's against the Word of God for any church to be a member of a convention. Brother Kirkpatrick, why in the world would you say that? Way back in our study, I gave you six Baptist distinctives. There's two reasons why I believe that it's wrong for a church, a Bible-believing Baptist church, to be a member of a convention. Two reasons. Number one, it violates the biblical teaching on the autonomy of the local church. Folks, the local church is the institution that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself started. And no organization, whether it's called a convention or a fellowship or a society or whatever name you want to give it, no outside entity is supposed to have any influence or say so whatsoever over what goes on in the local New Testament church. That includes the federal, state, and local government. They have no business and no right trying to dictate to the New Testament church. Now, to be the member of a convention, number one, it violates the autonomy of the local church, that it ought to be an independent body, self-governing body, that's free from any outside influence. Now, when I give you the notes, on pages 10 and 11 of the notes, you've got the outline of what I'm talking about this morning, the autonomy. We talked about it here, and I know it's been a long time ago. It's been many weeks ago. I understand that. You'll have the notes, and it'll detail for you the biblical guidelines for that, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. So two reasons now why I don't believe that a church ought to be a member of a convention. Number one, it violates the biblical teaching on the autonomy of the local church. Number two, it violates the biblical teaching on being separated from evil. Now I'm going to be specific. We're in the South, so I am going to talk about the Southern Baptist Convention. Why do I believe that it's wrong for a church to be a member of the Southern Baptist Convention? Folks, I believe that it's wrong because of the way the Southern Baptist Convention has corrupted the Word of God. You say, Brother Kirkpatrick, what in the world are you talking about? Folks, in 2004, the Southern Baptist Convention came out with the Holman Christian Standard Bible. The Holman Christian Standard Bible. Now, they have revised it already in just those few short years from 2004 to now. They've revised it already multiple times. But the Southern Baptist Convention decided that they wanted to get in on the money and the prestige of this Bible rewriting thing that's going on in these days. And so the Southern Baptist Convention corrupted the Word of God themselves by coming out with the Holman Christian Standard Bible. It originally hit the market in 2004. Folks, I believe that's wrong. As a Bible-believing Christian, I will have nothing to do with a group that wants to corrupt the Word of God. You see, we can talk this thing to death, and I know some are going to say, well, Brother Kirkpatrick, you know, there's some churches are a member of the Southern Baptist Convention, and they're not in favor of that. Well, they need to get out of the convention then. It's as simple as that. It's their choice. They choose to get out, or they choose to stay in. And so, obviously, it's not a big enough problem for them if they choose to stay in. Now, you say that's kind of rough. That's how I see it. I don't know. I can't say any more than that. So I'm talking about the rise of convention mentality. Now, the Southern Baptist Convention history bears out the truth that the Southern Baptist Convention, as has every other convention, I'm going to name them in a little while. Stay with me. You're going to be amazed how many churches are in these conventions. By the way, anybody got any idea how many independent Baptist churches there are? Boy, okay, that's going to be fun. We're going to get to that too here in a little while, I think. But it's truly sad to see that through joining with the Southern Baptist Convention, that churches have been drawn away from the outside. They've allowed the corruption. The devil knows how easy it is to get into something like a convention and corrupt it. He knows that when he corrupts the convention, that through the convention, he can begin to pull churches away from their steadfastness in Christ also. And that's exactly what he's been doing for decade after decade after decade. It's sad to see that through the Southern Baptist Convention, that Baptist churches have been moved to accept things like hyper-Calvinism and modern perversions of the Bible and contemporary trends in worship services, the personal dress standards which independent Baptists consider normal Christian living, the average Southern Baptist today considers extreme legalism. Folks, here's where I stand on this. I hold to the view that separated independent Baptist churches that hold to the infallibility of the King James Bible are the one type of church that through all the splits and splinters that have historically taken place most clearly reflect the churches of the New Testament. The independent Baptist churches are in the lineage of true scriptural New Testament churches. Folks, why is it important to know about your Baptist heritage? It's for this reason. If we don't know what our heritage is, we're certainly not going to put ourselves on the line to defend our heritage. If we don't know what it is, we're not going to put ourselves on. The average Christian thinks of it like this. The average Christian thinks of this matter of being a member of an independent Baptist church. I'm not talking to you folks in particular here. I'm talking about the broad range of people that name the name of Jesus Christ. The average Christian, though, thinks that being a member of an independent Baptist church is simply a matter of choosing between independent Baptist or Southern Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or Congregationalist or whatever else you want to name. They think it's simply a matter of almost like flipping a coin. Heads or tails, okay, I'll be a member of this one. They think of them all as being really close to being just alive. But folks, that's not it at all. You see, being a member of an independent Baptist church is a choice between being a member of a biblical New Testament church and being a member of a church that has taken marked steps away from the truths of the Word of God. The problems in the Southern Baptist Convention began early on. It was unscriptural from the day it was born. William Whitsitt lived in the late 1800s. He began his heresy against the Baptists, even though he was a Baptist. He was a Southern Baptist. He began his heresy in the 1800s. Folks, by the 1920s, the Southern Baptist Convention had already gone as a whole. By the 1920s, the Southern Baptist Convention had already taken great strides to the left in both its ecclesiastical teaching, that is, doctrinal things, and in this matter of daily Christian living, living a pure, clean, and a separated life. Before the Southern Baptist Convention, all Baptists were independent. There were some associations, if you will, if I could use that word, before that time. But all they were just gatherings that required no formal joining up. And there were no, there was nothing required, if you will, of a member because you didn't actually become a member. You see, I'm not saying, I hope everybody's not understanding, I'm not saying it's wrong for us to join in with other churches of like faith we've been doing that, say, for revival purposes and things like that. Preachers get together for preachers' fellowship. But folks, those are just loose fellowships where nobody joins up. No requirement is made of the local congregation. Folks, it's wrong for anybody. Now stay with me. This is Philadelphia Baptist Church. It's wrong for any group or any organization to try to tell Philadelphia Baptist Church what to do, how to worship, what to believe. We are a New Testament church. We answer only to the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, and this Bible is our only rule for faith and practice, and we're simply not going to accept. We simply are not going to accept any outside influence whatsoever that tries to make us go against the precepts of the Word of God. Well, the convention got worse and worse and worse and worse. And finally, there's a lot of people begin to pull out. The flood tide began when Dr. J. Frank Norris left the Southern Baptist Convention. He left the convention and started a college in Fort Worth, Texas. Next, men like Dr. Lee Robertson, Dr. Dallas Billington, John R. Rice, Lester Roloff, John Rawlings, Beecham Vick departed from the convention. A little later on, men like Jack Hiles and Lee Robertson and Harold Seitler became high-profile leaders in the independent Baptist movement. It's interesting, isn't it? I mentioned two names there, Lee Robertson and Dr. Harold Seitler. Dr. Robertson, of course, in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Highland Park Baptist Church started Tennessee Temple Schools. I'm a graduate of Tennessee Temple Schools. Our pastor, Pastor McCauley, he's a graduate of Harold Seitler School in Greenville, South Carolina. Lee Robertson and Harold Seitler together started the Southwide Baptist Fellowship. And could I use that to illustrate the danger of these things that get organized outside of the local church? Two good men of God started the Southwide Baptist Fellowship. Lee Robertson and Harold Seitler. Did you know that today the Southwide is as corrupt as it can be? It promotes modern versions of the Bible. It promotes Christian rock and the contemporary godless praise worship services that the worldly churches are known to have. You see, it's an assembly outside of the local church, and the devil has a real easy time getting into things like that. Now, I'm not just downing these men, please. I went to Dr. Robertson's church, the Highland Park Baptist Church. He was still the pastor there when I was a student at Tennessee Temple in the 70s. I graduated from Tennessee Temple, and some of you know my testimony in this regard, and some of you don't. I never felt like God wanted me to be a pastor. I did pastor for a few years to prove that God didn't want me to do it. But anyway, and that's a whole story in itself, but I never felt like God wanted me to be a pastor. I pastored for a few years, and I actually had Dr. Robertson into my church when I was pastor. He was a great man of God. But I tell you what, he came from the Southern Baptist Convention. And I want to be careful here. I don't want God to punish me and all for talking about a man of God. But Dr. Robertson allowed some things to go on at Tennessee Temple. I wasn't a party to what he knew and didn't know. I assume he knew all that went on in his own school. In the days that I was there, there were 4,000 students in all the branches of Tennessee Temple. But you know what? There were already, even when I was there, overall, Tennessee Temple was still a good school. Of course, it's gone now. It went straight down the tubes. It embraced modernism and it became it went into apostasy. It's gone now. It doesn't exist anymore. 4,000 students when I was there in the 70s. But even when I was there, there were already instructors in the school that openly were promoting the modern versions of the Bible. They weren't allowed to teach from those in the classrooms, but they openly embraced those. And I got to tell you, that was a real issue for me even way back then. I didn't like it, and I was opposed to it. But folks, listen. Because of their influence with fundamentalism and rubbing shoulders with the non-Baptists, they allowed Protestant teachings to come in. I'm talking about men like Dr. Lee Robertson. And eventually that bore fruit that was hurtful to independent Baptist churches. All the Baptists from 1940 through 1970 didn't come out of the convention. In fact, many were independent all along. Now, what about this matter of where we fit in? Biblical Baptist. Let me give you some figures, if I could. I've got 5 minutes. Let me start this anyway. Listen to this. These numbers will blow your mind. I'm talking about today, in the American Baptist Churches USA, all these are conventions now, like Southern Baptist Convention or Fellowship, whatever. The American Baptist Churches USA has 5,800 churches. The Southern Baptists have 37,000 churches today. The National Baptist Convention of America has 2,500 churches. The Progressive National Baptist Convention has 2,000 churches. The American Baptist Association has 1,300 churches. The Baptist Missionary Association has 1,300 churches. The Baptist Bible Fellowship has 3,600 churches. The General Association of Regular Baptists has 1,500 churches. The Conservative Baptist Association has 1,000 churches. The Free Will Baptist has 2,500 churches. The General Baptist have 1,000 churches. I know that y'all, in your mind, you kept account mathematically of all those, and all of you know that I just called out 59,500 churches. I know that. The churches that I just named, by the way, I only named the largest associations. There are a lot more. There are a lot more. But the ones I just called out are equal 59,500 churches that have the name Baptist associated with. But do you know this? You and I are not one of them. You and I are not one of them. There's a great sea of Baptist churches in existence today that are Baptist churches just like Philadelphia Baptist Church. That is independent Baptist churches. How many of them are there, you say? Nobody really knows for sure, you know, because we're independent. We don't give an account to anybody. We're not listed on any convention's roll, and so we can't access by computer. We can't access the roll like you can with any of these conventions. You can go on your computer, you can access that convention, and you can see the churches that are associated with it. It's thought, the best estimates that I could find, it's thought that there are 15,000 independent Baptist churches in the United States today. Now, here's my thought. This is so unscientific, and you can do whatever you want to it. I believe that the number is probably far higher than that. I think there are probably many more than 15,000. But the numbers that I can read, the people that have studied this and they've tried to put a number on it and at least gave their best guess, they tell us that there are at least 15,000 independent Baptist churches in America today. Folks, we We've got a grand and a glorious heritage. The devil will use anything that he can. He'll use anything that he can to try to stop us. He'll use anything that he can to try to get our attention, to get our effort. Could I stop with this? By the way, next week's lesson is going to start, and here's the title of it. How to be an old-time Baptist in a new-time society. How to be an old-time Baptist in a new-time society. The devil, though, will try anything that he can to keep us from going forward for Jesus Christ. Got to go back to the Southern Baptist Convention. There are many churches in the Southern Baptist Convention that represent the conservative side of the Southern Baptist Convention. For decades now, the conservative side of the Southern Baptist Convention has been at war with the liberal side of the Southern Baptist Convention. The conservative side is trying to take the convention back from the liberal side of the convention. They've got a war that's been going on for decades now. Folks, I submit to you that those conservative members, instead of wasting their time and their effort and their money in fighting within the convention itself, which was never scriptural from the day it was born, they would be better served to pull out and go on and spend their time fulfilling the Great Commission in their church. We've got a wonderful Baptist heritage. Let us be careful. Let us be careful that we don't allow we don't allow the devil to pull us away from God and the things of God by joining up with any group or any society or any convention that would try to dictate anything whatsoever to our New Testament church. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for our wonderful heritage. Bless your people now. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.